GoodSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray tonight that you'll visit everyone. Let everyone have an encounter with your word that will set us up for success in every area of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The topic remains creating meaningful success. We actually started this a couple of weeks ago, creating meaningful success. That's what we started a couple of weeks ago, and we've been able to learn over those weeks. And this is the third week, and we've been able to learn that creating meaningful success actually includes living our purpose. It includes us maximizing everything that God has given us and using them to the glory of God, and also for our own benefit, and of course for the benefit of mankind. And I think last week we talked about the 90 degree life, how that means living to please God and living to be a blessing to other people at the same time. And today we are looking at the talented man and woman's guide to overcoming talent confusion and overload. Now, this is something that I can also testify about, because that is actually something I went through at the early part of my life, because I could do so many things. It was really an overload. It was really a lot of confusion, thinking about which one should I focus on. And at that time, I was focusing on everything, and that meant failure in everything. Just like they say, jack of all trades is master of none. If we are jack of all trades, it means we are not going to master anything. So in this episode, I will be talking about different things about talent, even redefining what talent means, because you know, sometimes we put the word talent in a box and we seem to define people by what they can do. For example, in the church, if you can't sing, you can't do some of those major things, you just naturally assume that you are not talented, which is nothing but the lie of the devil. So talent, we need to redefine what it actually means, because some people can sing and you can't sing doesn't mean you are not talented. You may just not be good in that area, but there are so many other areas you are very good at. So the scripture about talent is, of course, made popular by the scripture in Matthew 25:14-30. And it says, "For the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." He called his own servants, delivered his goods to them. "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now, this is telling us that everything we have that we can call talent, which we are going to redefine very soon, everything we call talent is a gift. You know, everything that we can call our talent, our gift, they're actually more like an entrustment. God entrusted them to us. If you look at 1 Corinthians 4:7, says, "For who makes you different from other people?" What makes you different? Why do you think you're talented? Why do you think you can do all these things that other people cannot do? What makes you different? But he went ahead to say that, "What do you have that you did not receive?" That means, what do I have that I didn't receive? I've received everything. He says, "Now, if you indeed received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" And that's the extreme. You know, most people just act as if everything they have, apart from those special gifts that we have put in a box, like every other thing belongs to us. Your hard work, it belongs to us, and all those things. But nothing could be further from the truth. Every little thing your brain and my brain can do, they can be classified as talents. Now, in school, somebody who is not good in math could be seen as a child who is not brilliant. But nothing could be further from the truth. What if that guy just knows how to deal with money and or knows how to do business, but he cannot do all those crazy mathematical methods and all those maths that will always make people have extra year in school? Now, what if you're just good at some other things? People management. Now, when I was in school, I had this friend that every time he gets anywhere, everybody just knows him. He could relate with everyone. Well, the downside is that the moment he leaves, you think he still remembers you, he has forgotten you, because he's already creating that wonderful experience in the next place he arrives. That's a talent. That's a gift. But you know, we really don't focus on all those things. But redefining talent means you are looking at that thing that makes you exceptional. What is that thing that inside of you, you know that, see, I believe I can do this more than everyone else? Or what is that thing that other people have always looked at you and said, you are very good in this area? Sometimes it's just self-awareness. You are just aware that every time I do this thing, there is this strength, there is this unction in me that makes me do it very well. And sometimes people just say, you're very good at this, and you have not seen it yourself. That could just be the talent, that exceptional thing. So you are an embodiment of talent, and each talent is worth an inestimable value. Each talent cannot really be quantified. It's invaluable, like we say. That means you can't quantify it. It just depends on what you make out of it. If you think it's special, it's special. If I think it's not special, then it's not special. So, what is that special thing that you are, that I have, but I have not been making use of? And we should not let anyone, not even church, to define or put us in a box when it comes to talent. You may look at your church and all the departments they have, there is none you are good at. It doesn't mean you are not good at something. You just have to look at it and find it. Well, it doesn't mean you don't function in one that you are not good at. You know, service is a different thing. But I'm just saying, because they don't define it in that place, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Maybe they don't have a need of it at the moment, but they may have a need of it in some other places. In your place of work, they may just not need your kind of gift yet. Maybe the reason you have not gotten the kind of job you are looking for is because you've not been able to find someone who appreciates what makes you different. We need to redefine what talent is. When you look at your brain, when I look at my brain, did you know that most people don't use, I've forgotten the percentage we all use in our brains. I can't remember, maybe it's 5% or something. That they even said Einstein is the one that used the highest percentage or so. So you can imagine how many things we have not even explored. And most times it's because there is no definition for it. So you may just be that person who is going to start something unique in that area. So we need to look at everything in our lives. Even your breath can be considered a talent. Someone who is dead cannot use that. He cannot maximize that. So that you are alive alone is something to be proud of. It's something to be happy about. Now, the next point we're looking at is, you and I may just be as guilty as that guy that hid his one talent. And before I continue, one of the mistakes that people make is that they assume that the guy who got one talent got something very tiny, which is the mistake many of us also make about different areas of life. Now, one talent meant 1 year's wages. That means whatever minimum wage it is in your country, now multiply it by 1 year. What that person will have earned in 1 year is that what his master gave to him. And remember that the master gave to each one according to the ability they have. So even when judging, the master wouldn't have judged even if he only made one talent alongside the talent he made. He would have still been seen as a faithful servant, as a worthy servant, because he was given according to his own ability. So the question is, what is the ability that God has given you? Now, when we compare the ability we have with the gifts we have, and how we are using those gifts, then we can judge ourselves whether we are actually fruitful or not. We are not going to be judged based on what some other guy, some other sister, some other brother is using. No, we're going to be judged based on the ability we have. So maybe you are producing at 10% rate, and God has given you the ability for 1,000% rate. So you already know that you are doing more than other people, that you are producing more than other people, doesn't mean you are doing well. It doesn't mean I'm doing well. I will be judged based on the ability I have received. So remember that each talent you have is worth at least a year's wages. That means it can make you so prosperous that in 1 day you make what other people are making in 1 year. That's what happened to that guy. But he couldn't respect it. He couldn't see some special thing there. Now you will see when his master said he's a wicked servant, that the master was right. Because if somebody gave you what other people will earn in a year for you to go and do business with it, and you eat it, then the guy is truly guilty. But I don't want us to look at the guy today. I want us to look at ourselves. Am I guilty of bearing my talents? Am I guilty of bearing the good thing that God has given me? All these special gifts that doesn't even have a name or a definition. Am I guilty of bearing them? Now, the servant with one talent said, "It's just small, you are wicked, you reap where you have not sown." And he began to say all manner of things against him. Are we not also guilty of that? When we look at our lives, and someone will say, man, there is nothing working. Really? But each of those gifts that God has given you and I is worth a year's wages. Maybe you are doing business, and all you've sold is so little, and you're like, so this alone. Someone else is looking for that sale. Maybe a job. Somebody is looking for a job and got a job that is so small, according to his own definition. But someone else is not even qualified to get a job. Someone says, I graduated from school, and all I've been able to get is just to work in a tiny primary school, right? Private primary school where they pay almost nothing. But someone else could not even go to school, could not even be qualified for that. All he could do would just be manual labor job. That's very strenuous for him. So we need to just redefine what we are calling little. If we can maximize that little very well, God is going to reward us. Remember, God is the one who rewards his children, not the people of the world. You may be working for the people of the world, but God is the one that will bring the reward. So that God gave you one doesn't mean he has given you little. That one could be much more valuable than 500 of what someone else has. You know, yesterday I was doing a research. I was like, okay, what is the value of 500 logs of wood and one gold ring? And I realized that 500 logs of wood was worth about, I think, between $2,000 to $3,000. That's 500 logs of wood. You can't even carry one log of wood. Now, I was like, okay, what is the value of 100% gold ring? That's a gold ring, tiny ring that is 100%. I saw that the value was much, and the least was about $3,000. I'm talking about 100% pure gold. Now, the value was between $3,000 Canadian to $34,000 Canadian. That's $3,000 to $34,000. I was like, this tiny ring could be of that value. One even had a certificate of its purity. That's how valuable it was. Tiny, but valuable. So, if I look at my life, if you look at your life, that thing you call tiny could be just as valuable as that gold. It could just be so valuable that 500 people put together all their gifts, they don't have as much worth as what that tiny thing of yours is worth. But guess what we do? We keep bearing those talents because they are small to us. We call it small, but God has given it to us according to our ability. I pray that none of us will look down on what God has given us anymore in Jesus' name, and we'll make the most out of it. Now, how do we create meaningful talent success? Your talent is always without value when used. Well, I didn't make a mistake. If you keep using your talent, which is what most of us do, we use it. It wouldn't bring much value. But when we trade it, that's when it brings value. Using a talent doesn't make it valuable. Anyone can use anything and even use it the wrong way. But if you trade it, it becomes valuable. It's only what we trade that becomes valuable. And before we can trade it, it needs to be presentable. Before we can trade it, we need to be able to value it ourselves. We need to see some value in it. Now, I was listening to a testimony. I think my wife was telling me about that testimony. I was also listening to it along the way. The lady was going to sell a TV for one cheap price. I'm talking about smart TV that would be worth hundreds of thousands of naira, right? And wanted to sell it for like 10,000. People are like, is there something wrong with the TV? No. She said, I just have a need right now to meet. Well, the value she has put on that TV is what she was selling it at that moment in time, because she needed that money so bad. So the same way, that's how many of us treat our talents. We put so little value on it and we are using it instead of finding out to value it, make it valuable and sell it. The same diamond, you know, in the rough state, it's not as valuable. But the moment they fine-tune it, they purify it, it becomes so valuable. The same thing with gold. Gold in its rough state is not that valuable. as when it's purified. That's why we have 99% gold, and then some other ones are not 100% gold. So when you have 99% gold, you can see how the value is. So for your talents and my talents, I need to put value in it. And how do I put value in it? Number one, we stop using it. You can use anything, but when you trade something, it's valuable. So success begins when we stop using our talent and start trading it. And remember, God will judge us based on our ability and based on the value we put on those things. The same Jesus we honor today, did you know that during those times, it's not everybody that honor him? And because they didn't honor him, they didn't see all the results that other people are getting through him. He said he went to his own city. They saw him as their brother, their younger one. Oh, I know when he was small. I even cleaned his bum. I helped him with his diaper. I was the one that trashed it. How do you now say he's the Messiah of the world? I know him. I know everything about him. But because they couldn't value him, they couldn't also get value from him. So it's about time I looked at that thing God has given me. The same thing that God has given you. If you put more value in it, if you learn more about it, if I learn more about it, I'll get more value out of it. The same gift I use today, I've shared this over and over again, that people will pay me almost nothing for. Now they are paying me 100 times over that same gift today. So which means if I fine-tune my gifts, it will be valuable. Is this the same gift? But because I fine-tuned it, or I've fine-tuned myself to be able to present it well. And sometimes it's not just about fine-tuning the gift. It's about fine-tuning myself to be able to present the gift in a better way. That's all we need to do sometimes. And then we'll be able to reduce the confusion and the overload. Now, let's talk about the confusion and the overload. Now, for me as an example, one of the challenges I had before was that I could do so many things. I had a lot of talent. I had a lot of things I could do. And I was doing all of them at the same time. And guess what? I almost got nothing out of all of them. I was doing each one, but because I was doing each one and I didn't put attention on anyone in particular, I almost got no value out of them. If there's anything I can recommend to anyone with many gifts or many talents, someone who has recognized, we all have many talents, but someone who has recognized many of them, I would say, instead of trying to use all of them at the same time, take them one by one. We can transfer that to business. We can transfer that to career. Now, you have a business and you have many ideas. Instead of trying to run all of them at the same time, take them one after the other. Take one, narrow it down. Make sure you are so good at it. Then begin to multiply. Begin to multiply. Do we know that most businesses in the world, that's what they do? Amazon. Now, it's so confusing that Amazon is selling almost anything. But when Amazon started, they were just selling books. Books. Even now, many people may not even know that Amazon sells books. But that was the only thing they were doing. How do you transition from selling books to selling everything? The only thing they don't sell now, in fact, they even sell people, so to say, because I think you can hire people's services on Amazon. That's almost like selling people's time. So they can do anything now from doing just one thing. So because we are focusing on one doesn't mean you're going to lose the rest. It just means that we are smarter at it. So what is that gift that I have? Or what are those gifts that I have that I'm trying to use everyone at the same time? And now nobody knows me for anyone. If we focus on everything, people will know us about nothing. But if you focus on one and maximize it, now that one, because we are so good at it, it will be valuable. People will see us as that man that does that one thing. And then when they get to you, because you are so good at that one thing, they will ask about so many other things. They will ask about one, they will ask about two, about three, about four. So it's really important that we focus on them one after the other, maximize them, and use them properly. Remember how God judges, I mentioned that before, that God will judge us based on how we use those things properly. Did you know that Jesus also did the same thing? Jesus is both a prophet, a king, a priest, remember, gold, myrrh, and frankincense, the gifts they brought to him, you know, showing us every aspect of his life. Jesus is both king, but did you know that Jesus did not manifest as a king when he was here on earth? If he manifested as king, his ministry would have finished. But he manifested as the servant that he came to be, as the one to wash away sins. Every other thing he did was just for one purpose, to save us from our sins. That's all he did. But at the end of the day, Jesus is now King, is now Lord, is now everything that God wanted him to be for us. But when he came, he wasn't everything. Yes, he was healing people, he was raising the dead and all that. But guess what? That was not what he was doing actually. He was just showing us what the kingdom of God was like. That's all he came to do. To show us what the kingdom of God was like. Even this same parable we are talking about, he said, the kingdom of God is like this. Everything was to show us the parable. And guess what? Many people still don't know that till now. That Jesus came to show us the kingdom. Every other thing were just necessary to make us see that. To see the kingdom of God. So, if I apply my talent along that line to show that it's about the kingdom, it will all make sense. The confusion will go, the overload will go, because now I know it's not about me, it's about God that gave me the talent. Remember, the man that traveled, he gave 5 talents to them. He said immediately went on his own journey, which meant that he wasn't going to be around. It's left for them to now do what he wanted when he wasn't around. The same thing with us. All the gifts, all the talents that you and I have, God is not physically present, so to say, to come and say, oh, have you used this one? Have you used that one? He has left us, so to say, to do it, but to remember that he's always watching us. If I change that talent to focus on him, then I will make sure that everything I do will bring him glory. So let's look at it from that angle today, that every talent, every gift I have, are used for his glory. Then I need to revisit everything. That even when I'm in house fellowship and I'm singing, I will not use my gift anymore. I will trade it. I will sing as if I'm in front of 1 million people, because I know God is watching. Praise God. So that's the end of the episode today. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we begin to take these steps, that we have good success indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for joining. And God bless you in Jesus' name.
The good success has come.